if you're aiming for an 18-year-old at 36, you're not going to compromise at a 17-year-old, a 16-year-old. It wouldn't matter. It's the same thing. What's the difference between a 16 and an 18-year-old besides the fact that they're legal? But they're both still teenagers and they're both still extremely young and undeveloped, mentally at least, you know? Okay. And would you say that there's another P. Diddy in the industry that, or more P. Diddy's in the industry from your time at the industry?
P. Diddy is he's a one-on-one. Like the fact that we call him P. Diddy and, you know, Puff Daddy and Puffy and Sean Combs and all the different variations. He's a one-on-one with like his like level of freak offs. And his was like, he did it for so long because he's doing it out in the open. You know, he's got a 40-foot bed in his backyard and people are, you know, jumping on it. And he's having these freak off parties with like a lot of people involved. And then they got bigger and bigger. Like they found, you know, thousands of bottles of like lubricant, literally
baby oil.
Yeah. So like, I think he was just all out in the open. Like, you know, I can do whatever I want. I think the other people that are doing it are much more careful, much more calculated, and are much more wicked.
So they're in there. That's exactly my question. My question is, correct, is there more people that you believe,
yes,
that are still behaving like Diddy?
Yes.
But understand this. The industry is definitely a cult in a sense where there's a power structure. There's an organization that rules over the industry. There's a method of operation because most people think that the artists are doing what the artists are doing. And it's never really the artists. The artists are doing what the record labels allow them to do. That's literally the best way to put it. And when I'm not saying that situations don't happen outside of that, but the record labels knew about Diddy's behavior. The record labels knew about Drake's, you know, so-called behavior. They all know what these people are into and they're okay with this. This is not their fight. Their fight is with that information coming out. They're there to make sure that it doesn't come out, you know?
Right.
So it's a protective layer to keep the industry appearing as this wonderful, lavish place where they need more people to sign up for. They need more people to populate it. So they don't want to scare anybody off, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But would you say that, did you attend any parties or anything while you were in the industry?
I attended parties, but I've never been to a Diddy's party. But I've definitely been to like social gatherings for sure. Because let's be honest, it's one big party. That's what it is, you know?
Yeah.
And when people say party, it's not like a label person I worked with, it's like, yo, are you going to come over and we're going to party? That doesn't mean like we're going to have a celebration and a bunch of noise and people dancing. That just means, are you going to come by? Are we going to do drugs? Exactly. Like partying doesn't require... When people say party in the music industry, it's usually a party between 4, 5, 6 people. That's what is classified as party. Like, yo, you know, we're going to party tonight. Where's the party at? It's not usually like this. You understand what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
the way Diddy would do. That's what made Diddy was so crazy, because he would like really have like all these, he was really partying doing all this stuff. And they would say for days, right? So at the other higher levels that I've been in, partying meant a few people over drinking and probably going to be some drug use.
And it would probably get some more extreme from there, right? You know,
correct.
At any moment, did you see any, do you know what the Freemasons are?
Yes.
Would you say that there's Freemasons involved in the music industry?
Yes.
Okay. See, that right there should prove to many people alone that you're being 100% honest, because most people in the industry aren't going to say that.
Right.
Most people in the industry are afraid of this question, or they act like they don't even know what the Masons are. Now,
but they show the symbolism so clearly.
Yeah, of course. And that's my next question. Do you believe people like P. Diddy, Jay-Z, Beyonce, do you believe they're members of either the Freemasons or other occult organizations?
That's why I think Diddy's a one-on-one, because I don't really think that he was. He was like his own occult. And kind of like what you said, maybe he made somebody upset or something. Like Diddy's always been a kind of like a lone ranger, a lone wolf, right?
He uses the same symbolism though.
Right, but Jay-Z, you're right. But Jay-Z, yes, 100%.
Okay, good. Are you a Freemason by chance?
No.
Okay, good. I just got it. These are the questions so that my audience would trust you. And, you know, this is important to know. Jay-Z is definitely a Freemason. Diddy is 100% a Freemason. His the same man that I was telling you about, the guy who was interviewed inside of the jail by the police, he was interviewed in a interrogation room. And he was interrogated, and this is literally what he said. He said, P. Diddy, Rick Ross, and DJ Khaled, he said they're all gay. And he said that they're all a part of the Bole Masonic organization.
Diddy said Ross, which they're good buddies, okay? Mm-hmm. They're gay.
Who?
Both. Diddy and Ross. And Khaled. They're all gay, okay?
DJ Khaled, Rick Ross, yeah. And P. Diddy?
Yeah.
They're all gay?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I know you may or may not. I know you're going to believe me. You have what's called the Illuminati. How do I know this?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. How do you know this?
You know Sean Combs.
Puff Daddy?
Yeah.
P. Diddy, whatever you call himself. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, he's part of what's called the Bole. The Bole is a branch of the Illuminati.
Okay.
Which is essentially, it's a fraternity, a black fraternity within Freemasonry. So this is pretty much out there. Now, were you ever asked at any moment to be brought into this type of lifestyle? Not directly, maybe indirectly, maybe invited to certain situations where you felt uncomfortable or you felt that things were off?
Yeah.
Can you? Sure.
And I would say with what I do know for a fact, not alleged, but DJ Khaled is bisexual. And Jay-Z has also participated in bisexual activities.
Would you want to say allegedly for your safety?
There's no, I would say allegedly if it was allegedly. DJ Khaled 100% has been involved in, he's bisexual. I did a show called One Shot and he was in Miami and he was open with the guy that he was with. He was gay. And I don't understand what happens there where, because nobody said anything to me like, hey, make sure you don't, you know, go out and say this on record. Make sure you don't say this, da 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 da. So it's weird that would still be hidden. That seems like that should be a fact that DJ Khaled, at least in 2016, was definitely bisexual.
Okay, and we're gonna.
And Jay-Z is without question bisexual.
Okay, I agree with you. I know I.
Jay-Z's mom is gay.
Jay-Z's mother?
Yeah, she's gay openly.
Okay, I have nothing against any person's preference, but in the industry, they like to hide this, specifically in hip hop. They're trying to make this normal now. They're trying to push it on so it could be more accepted within the hip hop community. But the reason why they would want to keep this from the public is because they're pushing this gangster, you know, tough guy, manly of all men persona. And if it were to come out that they were not the manly of men, so I think that's the reason why they hide it. But I 100% believe that these people are bisexual, gay, and I believe that, like I said, the Freemasons, they don't see themselves as men. They see themselves as gods. That's what the 33rd degree literally represents. It represents enlightenment. It represents reaching the level of a god. And most people will say that God is genderless, even though in Christianity, God is a man, essentially a man type of being. But in the Kabbalist way that they look at these things, they see man and woman as one. It's called the great androgynine. If I'm mispronouncing it, I'm sorry. But it's alchemy in the sense where the femininity and the masculinity come together to create one being, which is a god. And that's literally what Masonry teaches. So I wouldn't be surprised if 90% of these people in the industry at the level of Jay-Z, Drake, Kendrick Lamar, Kanye West, all of these people at the top, if they're into this kind of thing, because I personally believe, and I've personally proven hundreds of times, that you just cannot get to that level without being a part of that club. Would you agree with that?
I definitely would agree.
Great.
And listen, as you're saying this, and I'm thinking about the DJ Khaled situation, that TV show, it's on BET right now. It's called One Shot. And I left. There's like stories out there where I left One Shot. And I said that I left One Shot because I was reunited with my birth parents. And that's not really, I mean, that is the truth, but the reason why I left, because the whole was gay. RZA is bisexual. Sway Calloway is bisexual. Who else was out there? DJ Khaled was bisexual. It was like one big, you know, gay party that was all like closeted and like weird. That's why I left, because for the exact same things that you said, like people have their own preferences, people have their own beliefs. You know, I know a lot of people. So I know a lot of, you know, gay Christians. And then I know a lot of people like the church that my family started that would be like, there's no way that you could be a gay Christian. There's no way that you could be gay and also be a Christian at the same time. And I've done projects that are, you know, supportive of LGBT, but it was all out in the open. The One Shot thing that I did with DJ Khaled and Sway Calloway and RZA of the Wu-Tang Clan was also gay and also hidden. And it was annoying and it was so weird because it's everything that you're talking about. Just like, you know, be gay. Like, you know, I know Lil Nas X is like, so like, I don't like any of his music, right? But he's out there in the open. And do you want to talk about like dark, wild stuff that he's promoting? Like, he seems like he's, you know, satanic as they come. Frank Ocean.
You see,
you know,
what you're mentioning though, that you're mentioning the people that they're putting in place to try to normalize this within hip hop.
Right.
You do see that, right?
Yes.
Lil Nas X, his purpose was to bring down that barrier. His purpose is to make it normal, not for the generations where you come from or the generations where I come from, because they're not going to turn. That's not going to work with them. But it's for the new generation that's emerging now. They're expecting this to be normal within the next, you know, 10 years. This is going to be popular. It's not just going to be Lil Nas X. It's going to be several rappers that are fully gay, fully embracing, you know, that lifestyle and promoting it through their music and pushing it. Like we're seeing with, it's not just Lil Nas X. It's been gradually happening with Young Thug wearing the dress, with ASAP Rocky wearing a skirt, with Lil Uzi Vert painting his nails. Even Drake recently painted his nails. With even Latin artists like Bad Bunny wearing dresses and all this. And these are everybody that I've mentioned, I've already exposed for using occult imagery. And, you know, we can argue that the label is the one behind the imagery. But it doesn't change the fact that if they're involved with the label and they're pushing this, they're still involved, you know?
Mm.
Now, you mentioned you worked with Whitney Houston at a point, right?
Right.
I don't know if you've heard of the, you know, the speculations that what happened to her wasn't her on her own free will. It wasn't something that she did to herself. Have you heard anything like that? And do you believe that what happened to Whitney Houston was, you know, her accidental? Or do you believe that there was something nefarious happening there?
I don't know. Whitney Houston was amazing to work with. She was so down to earth. She was so humble. And she would, even though that she struggled with substances, she was still so God-fearing, and she was always preaching and wanting to pray with you. And she was amazing. And it was so sad to see what's happened. What I think is weird is that she died in a bathtub and so did her daughter. Like, what are the chances, man? She's the only person I know that died in a bathtub. And you mean to tell me that her daughter also dies in the bathtub? Come on. That's weird.
And when I was looking into Whitney, right? I don't know if you have heard anything of this sort, but it was saying that she was having trouble with Clive Davis. You know, and we know Clive Davis is one of the most powerful men in the industry. He's technically responsible for P. Diddy. The rumor is that he was one of the most powerful
gay men too.
Yeah. It's rumored that he was the one who turned Diddy into what he is today. I covered all of this. I did a video about it. And Diddy, essentially, the rumor is, allegedly, Diddy was kicked off the label he was on. I forgot the name. And he was desperate to try to make it work. He had Biggie with him. He had Craig Mack with him. And he ended up having this meeting with Clive Davis. And essentially, he asked Clive Davis to save hip-hop, because at that moment, there was no money in hip-hop. There was no big market for hip-hop. And he wanted Clive Davis to essentially, you know, invest in it and take it to the next level. And the rumor is that in order for Diddy to make this happen, he had to get on his knees and, you know, please Clive Davis. Now, if we look at what Clive Davis revealed, that he himself is a gay man and or bisexual man, and that he had relationship with men in the industry who he didn't reveal their names, but he claimed that he had a relationship with men in the industry. You know, would you believe that Clive Davis might have had something to do with Whitney Houston, or is that something that you think is too far-fetched?
I think the fact that she died in the same hotel where Clive Davis's party was happening.
Yeah.
And he was notified about it.
Yep.
And then he continued to have the party.
He said, like, I think it was a 2 or 3 minute dedication to her and then continued to have the party, which is kind of weird.
So meanwhile, now that's a different party than what we're talking, that I was talking about earlier. This is a huge party.
Yeah, this is the
Grammy. All the celebrities are out.
Yeah, the Grammy.
So they're in there partying while in the room upstairs, a couple floors up, there's a dead body of his most iconic artist and a crime scene going on, and everybody else is partying two floors down. And somebody that he says was like his daughter and somebody that she really looked up to. He's one of the people who turned on her. You see what his action is, the way that he, you know, keep the party going. My dead artist is right above, a couple floors above us, keep the party going. That shows you what he thought about her.
And it's reported also that he told them not to remove the body so that it doesn't ruin the party, essentially. He told them to basically keep the body in the hotel room so that they can essentially continue their party without it being shut down or something of that sort. You know, this is what it's being speculated.
Correct.
Now, going back to the Drake situation, I also feel that Drake might have had something to do with what happened to you, for sure. Do you believe that Drake would want to retaliate against you because of what you're saying now?
No.
Why do you say that?
Because it's too much out in the open at this point. And I know too much, and I've told his representatives, like, if anything were to happen, other stuff is going to happen to reveal information. I know too much. I got exposed to too much information with text messages and videos and voice notes recording and everything else, that I didn't ask for any of that, you know, information. I didn't ask for any of that stuff. So I'm not worried about Drake. I'm not worried about Jay-Z. I'm not worried about any of these people anymore.
And
because I realized that my mother told me a long time ago, if I'm not using my gifts to glorify God, then I'm never going to be truly blessed. So I know that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And this has happened organically. And these interviews have happened organically. And these things have happened organically. I wasn't seeking any of this. This has just happened because this is what God is pushing me to do. And that's not only what I feel, that's what I know, because it's happening, right? So I'm not scared of that at all. If I would, I wouldn't be speaking.
That was beautifully said. I would say that. I respect everything you're saying, and I definitely respect, and I really appreciate the fact that you reached out to me and we were able to do this interview. And I'm happy that you weren't like most people who are afraid to say the truth, because they're afraid of losing their money, or they're afraid of losing, you know, anything that is connected to this industry. And I want to tell all these artists, the moment that you come to a platform like this and you tell your story and something like this happens, or something will, God forbid, happen, we're not going to let go. You're going to have to take out the whole 290,000 people that follow me and me, because we won't let this go. We're here to stand up for the truth, and we're going to protect our own. And you are telling me that you're moving with God, and that makes you my brother. We're brothers, essentially. We're in the same fight. And I'm tired of these artists using money power and all these type of things as leverage to keep people quiet. So if people don't want to tell their story, I'm going to say it for them. But I'm happy that you came on here and you reached out to me. You told me, you know, that you wanted me to tell this story, and I'm honored to. And it's incredible, though, that you've gone through all these things, and instead of staying quiet, you became a soldier, you became a warrior, and now you're willing to tell the truth no matter what happens. Like you said, you don't even care what they have to say or what they have to do. You're willing to take it there because you know things that, you know, could destroy them. And essentially, that's the best thing for you to have. That is for you to protect yourself. And I will not ask you any of that because that is what you have to protect yourself. That is your ammunition. So definitely hold on to that. And is there anything else?
Go ahead, because if I reveal all the information, then I'm not going to have leverage anymore.
Exactly.
So I reveal, you know, as much as I can. And I think Drake is already being pushed out like Diddy has, you know, like Drake, we're watching Drake fall, like with the Kendrick Lamar, you know, battle. It's like, we're watching that. And it's going to be a tough fall for Drake to deal with because he thrives to be on top. But I will say, like, Drake is also bisexual.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's not alleged.
Yeah, no, I believe that 100%. I saw him one time.
I know that.
He got an award and he picked up his leg and twirled. And I know myself that straight men don't do that. So when he definitely did that, I kind of figured that he was already playing both sides.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to say before we wrap up? I have about 10 minutes left before I have to get out of here and go get my son.
Well, yeah. I'll say this real quick as we wrap up. So when one of the projects you're talking about, the masculinity of rap mixed with the homosexuality, the conflict and how
femininity.
Yeah. How like the new school rappers, they don't really care. It's like, okay, if you're gay, you're gay, whatever. Like if you've been in New York, it's everybody's so openly gay that I almost feel like the outcast for being straight, like with my girl, like it's nuts, you know? But anyways, when I did a Notorious B.I.G. project, which was Diddy's artist, and you can Google it, right? It's out there. We went viral in 2021. We're in Variety and Rolling Stone and all the big publications. And I did some interviews with Biggie's son, and they were wanting to promote, like, because it's dance music and house music, to promote to the LGBT community. And like people were saying that, you know, Biggie was gay. Don't know that to be the truth, but you know, his son was bisexual and it's out there about, you know, CJ Wallace and everything else. But when I was doing the Notorious Big project, signed with them, signed with the estate, all this is out in public knowledge, that when Diddy got involved, it got weird because everybody started shutting us down because there was from one of the people working with the estate wanted to come out with the LGBT, you know, community about how it's in house music and techno music, it's rampant. You know, it's like a lot of it, you know, is gay. Like when you go to like the, you know, the raves and the parties, a lot of it is, you know, gay. And we were shut down basically because we were promoting, not we as they, Biggie's son and his partner at the time named Willie Mack, who's openly gay, because there was an LGBT side to, in it. I started getting random text messages like, you know, quit promoting the, you know, like the gay stuff, quit, you know, blah, 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 blah. It got really, 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 really aggressive. And then I dealt with Diddy and I talked about this in the real life interview. And he was telling us, you know, we should do ketamine. And, you know, it was really strange that he was saying that openly and how ketamine is in house and techno music. And we got to be one with the music. And he can tell that he was dissing the song that we did because he could tell that I wasn't doing ketamine because he didn't feel it in the music, right? You got to have those vibrations. And he was right. At that time, I hadn't done ketamine, you know? And so like, and then afterwards, I did try ketamine. You know, just being honest. So that was the way that project died, and I invested so much money, the way that project died and with the Notorious Big Estate, and what I dealt with them with the Notorious Big Estate was so foul and it was so corrupt. And because the apple doesn't fall far, from the tree, especially when it's the Big Apple in New York. And Diddy and his people are still handling the notorious Big Estate. Or they were up until 2023 when he surrendered the publishing, you know, which was very strange. But what I dealt with the notorious Big Estate, even though Biggie is dead, is the most foulest and most corrupt thing I've ever been with. And Diddy was still involved in the time. So that's all I really have to say about that. You know, we can talk about that more later. But that was one of the projects that really set me down into real depression, where I was like, started to do ketamine and I turned to drugs and everything else. And this is what I tell you, so I'm not hypocritical, is like, I've done a lot of things in my past, and I've promoted drug use. And this thing with God, I've always known it was there. I've always ran away from it. I've always rebelled from it. But what I've been through, especially over the last, you know, 3 months for me to come out and speak about it, is I've watched God change and everything in my life. Because what's been taken from me is my youngest daughter, my family. We've been at odds, and that's from all the industry stuff that I've been involved in. So as far as like losing everything, yeah, I'm good financially. Yeah, I'm good, you know, in my life. But they've already taken so much away from me that I don't even care at this point, right? So I'm just out here fighting, and I'm willing to do, you know, whatever it takes to hopefully get people justice, and that's where I'm at right now.
And we're definitely going to have to do a part two to this interview. We're going to have to dive deeper in, because I wanted to focus, like we did at the beginning, focus more on the situation that you went through, how Drake could possibly be involved. And we covered all that. And you know, since I'm running out of time, we can't get into this.
Yeah, for sure, part for sure, for sure.
But
yeah.
Maybe we can definitely do a part two to this.
I would love
and
to.
Also, just real quick before we wrap up, the fact that you said that about Biggie, I recently saw that he had a transgender in his video, one of his early videos. It was a girl that was... They show her in the video dancing with Biggie and talking with Biggie. And then she goes to the bathroom, and she goes to the men's bathroom and pees in a urinal. So essentially indicating that she had a man's part, you know? And this was something that even, if I'm not mistaken, it was someone that brought it up, but I don't remember the name. Someone that's in the industry that brought it up, and basically implying that Biggie and Diddy were intimate or had done things together. So I
also heard that. And that's what I'm saying. It got weird. Like once the gay factor came in, once like Diddy found out that we were promoting this as like an LGBT thing, which was coming from Biggie's son and Biggie's partner, because they're like we talked about, they don't think anything is wrong with it.
No.
Right. They don't. And it's cool. Like whatever, you know, I don't even want to go into there. Like, I don't even want to say it's wrong or right or whatnot. But as soon as that factor came in and they started speaking out about it, I think in like Variety and Billboard, when CJ did interviews, it got shut down, because it's like, no, then we're not going to have anything gay tied to the Notorious Big. But listen, he was notorious gay. I mean, he was.
But it goes back to what I said earlier. In those generations, they're trying to normalize it now. And Diddy, of course, Diddy is down with the program. Diddy's been down, if the rumors are true, since Clive Davis in the 90s. But they don't want that associated with an artist like Biggie, because the people that listen to Biggie still have values from the 90s and the 2000s, where corruption was there. They were already pushing drugs and violence, but there were still some things that were off limits.
Correct.
We have gone to a point now where in society where there is no limits. They're removing all the limits. They're removing everything that we thought was bad. They desensitized us through manipulation, through programming, through the music, through the movies. And they push it every so often, every couple months, more and more. But I have to wrap up here.
Do your thing. Take care of your kid. Thank you so much. God bless. I would love to talk to you again. I love what you're doing.
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to interview you. And thank you for being honest. And thank you for answering my questions.
Yes, sir.
I really appreciate you, and God bless you, and may God continue to protect you on this battle. And hopefully we can talk again. Tell them where they can follow you at.
Just follow God.
Okay, perfect. No problem. Yeah. As you heard for yourself, Jonathan put it all on the line, exposing many artists and confirming the Freemasons run the music industry. He also tells us about the secret lives of many people in the industry. He put it all out there, and I'm honestly praying for his safety. But like he said, he is not afraid, as he is with God and has a lot on the industry that he is ready to put out there. If you guys want me to do a part two to this interview with Jonathan, comment part two below. I want to thank Jonathan for giving me the opportunity to tell his story. Thank you all for watching, and I'll see you guys in the next one.